Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to episode one of Diabetes Out Loud, formerly known as DSMA Live. Today we'll be talking with Chris Snyder about my diabetes and my disease secrets. My name is Bennett Dunlap, and I'm joined by...
I'm Lorraine Sisto.
And this is our first week in the new format, and we're going to be taking part in the first Diabetes Podcast Week. Our show and notes will be... And it will include a list of the diabetes podcasters that are taking part in this event. So we invite you to check them all out. Diabetes Podcast Week seeks to bring attention to the Spare a Rose campaign, and you can learn more at sparearoseallonewordsparearoseorg for more information. The concept here is really easy. It's going about to be Valentine's Day. Buy one less rose and use the value of that rose to give life through IDF's Life for a Child program. Go to sparearoseorg, click give. You can give any amount of money, or you can even sign up for an ongoing monthly gift. Lorraine?
So we're excited about our new name. It's Diabetes Out Loud. You've formerly heard Bennett and I speak under DSMA Live, and specifically DSMA Live Rents. We're venturing into pre-recorded podcasts, so we won't be live for much longer, so we thought it was time to... revisit our name. So Diabetes Out Loud is what we will be going forward. And in the coming weeks, you'll see some changes to go along with the name change. What will stay the same is Bennett and I will continue our podcast together. Charisse, George, and Scott will continue their podcast together. We may from time to time mix it up a little bit and have different host combinations in future shows. But the general premise behind the show will be the same. The format might change up a little bit. We've been trying to shorten the length of our shows to 30 minutes from the hour we've been doing for years. We're going to try to add some fun little different nuances to it. But mostly the change will be that we'll be recording our shows in advance. You'll hear more in the future about opportunities to call in, although it won't be live, but we still want to hear from you guys, and we'll let you know every step of the way, the changes that we make, and what to expect. We ask that you visit diabetesoutloud.org. It's where we will post our show notes and information and any links that we mentioned to keep you informed. And you can also find out where to link into us elsewhere on other social media platforms. So we're excited about taking part in Deep Podcast Week. We are one of, I don't know, it's like maybe 10 or so different podcasts that are out there. And I saw the list. Stacey Sims has organized this week, this event, to bring attention to the Spare Rose campaign. And when I saw the list, I definitely recognized some names, but then saw some podcasts that I hadn't heard of before. And I took a listen to each show, at least one version of each show, and there are some really great ones out there. So, again, go to our show notes. We'll link you into the complete list, and you can check them out for yourself. This week, as Bennett mentioned, we have a fellow podcaster with us. Chris Snyder joins us. We're happy to have him with us. Welcome, Chris.
I wish we weren't talking about me for the next 30-ish minutes. I want to talk about this new podcast thing you guys are doing. I love talking about podcasting. It's so much fun.
Well, we can do that again at another time, and you can help us.
I would happily come back on Diabetes Out Loud. This is so very exciting. Congratulations to all you guys on this new adventure.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying the name, too. So about Chris, you may know from the Just Talking podcast. He's been doing that for years. I think you're up to episode 320-something or other. You can find him on several platforms – not only at justtalkingpodcast.com, but also his blog at A Consequence of Hypoglycemia. And if you visit ChristopherASnyder.com, you'll see neatly organized all the places online you can find him and the various projects in which he's involved. Chris was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in 2002 as a new college freshman. So, yes, we are going to spend the next tens of minutes talking about you, Chris. Welcome. And how should we start? Do you want to talk a little bit about being diagnosed, or do you want to get right into my diabetes secrets, also known as my disease secrets?
I guess we could do the diagnosis story because that's kind of quick and I'm not sure about painless, but I mean, everybody has more or less, you know, seen or read about the classic symptoms, the weight loss, frequent urination, exhaustion. I had all of that during my first semester of college. So I equated all of those symptoms with the stress of trying to get into Virginia Tech's engineering program. When I eventually went home for, I think, my high school's homecoming, it was like the fall break for college. My parents, who hadn't seen me since they dropped me off at college, said, "You look terrible. Go to the doctor." The doctor said, "Pee in this cup." And then I called an hour later and said, "Go to the hospital. Something's wrong." And then that's when I got my diagnosis and then started freaking out, trying to figure out how in the world I was going to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because food was the most, it was the most confusing thing at the time, in particular because, I guess still now, but less so. But at the time, I had a very kind of strict and very kind of a very contained diet. I did not venture out, not eat a lot of vegetables. I guess technically I wasn't very healthy, but I didn't venture out as far as food was concerned, and trying to fit what foods I felt comfortable eating into the carb exchange thing that I was initially taught. That was a nightmare. And I mean, it's all worked out for the better. And, you know, now I do things like eat vegetables, which is great. But at the time it was quite a learning experience.
So Chris, you know, you talked about being diagnosed as a young adult, going into college. That's often a real challenging time of life for people. And I know that the My Diabetes Secret is an avenue for people that maybe don't want to share publicly their experience, but maybe has a special resonance for that demographic. Can you tell us what My Diabetes Secret is and how you got to it and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so we'll drop a couple of links as we go. Just at the start, mydiabetessecret.com is the place to go for all this stuff. It is an anonymous, it's a platform built on the anonymous sharing of secrets related to your diabetes or how diabetes impacts your life. And we're going to get into why I'm phrasing it that way specifically by the end of the show, as we talked about kind of offline. But the idea came from a post that your friend of mine, Carrie Sparling, put up. She linked to a post or something that was submitted to Post Secret that I think implicitly, if not explicitly, talked about diabetes, and she kind of elaborated on that. And then for that post, she opened up the comment section on her blog, and she allowed anonymous comments, which she doesn't often. Most people have some kind of verification system in place so you don't get spam. But she opened up anonymous comments for that one post and it received like 150 comments, and it was pretty incredible and powerful to read. And I'm not sure what spawned the idea, but I just remembered that post and kind of thought that there could be a more evergreen kind of platform for this to take place on. As this thought was coming into my head, I've been trying to figure out how to connect with the diabetes community on Tumblr, which I guess for the most part I have been kind of successful on. But prior to My Diabetes Secret, I had tried and failed two other times to really engage the diabetes community there. I know that there are a lot of people on there talking about their diabetes, but I just couldn't find a way to really kind of join them in a fun way beyond just, you know, sharing my own story. I wanted to find a way to actively engage and build a conversation and kind of join and build that community. So the good thing about Tumblr is that within the platform, it has mechanisms for submitting posts, for submitting pictures and things like that. For My Diabetes Secret, you're always submitting text, which makes it kind of simple. And for people that are logged into Tumblr, there are a lot of Tumblr users out there. If they submit it, then I resubmit myself as anonymous. And then for everybody else out there, I instruct them to submit it as anonymous, and for your email address, anonymous@gmail.com. The instructions are right there on the website. And I do this so that there's no way for me to tie a secret back to anybody in particular. I mean, I stand by the anonymity principle that I've built all these sites on. And if I go back on that, then there's my word is my bond at this point. The thing that I've learned about Tumblr as I try to understand this really weird platform is that for the most part, it's not a universal truth, but for the most part, that audience skews younger and female. And that's not to say that there isn't an audience for older men on Tumblr, but a lot of the, just in general, a lot of the conversations that you see independent of diabetes, for whatever reason, that younger female audience has gravitated towards that platform. So posts that come in, you can kind of tell depending on who's writing it or what the topic is. You can sort of tell like how old they are, how long they've had diabetes, and what their experiences are. And over the years, it's grown into this kind of crazy beast that I'm trying to wrangle and expand into other patient communities beyond just diabetes.
So in Carrie's post, where she opened up anonymous comments, do you remember the content of that? Were they comments and statements that you hadn't heard before, or was it just the empowerment from, because I'm assuming it sounds like it was something very empowering for not only people who are writing these comments, but also for people who might be going through and reading them, just from the fact that they were able to state them anonymously?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think that for, generally speaking, with the diabetes online community, there's a lot of me too that goes on for people that are like newly diagnosed and they find the DSMA chats, which happen on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. For people that are new to that, then all of a sudden they learn, hey, I'm not the only person with diabetes. I can find other people and I can chat with them on Twitter and it'll be a lot of fun. For people that are new just in general to the internet and diabetes, it's holy crap, there are other people writing about this stuff. I'm not alone. For those anonymous comments that come in and people are saying, I haven't checked my blood sugar in a week, then right. For some people out there, there's a Me Too factor of, hey, I'm not the only person that's struggling with this, and it's okay to not be okay. So, I mean, there's a little bit of empowerment, but I think mostly it all revolves back into that Me Too factor. It's another avenue to understanding that you're not alone in this really miserable disease.
And this anonymous part of it really is unique, because I'm trying to think of all of my interactions online. I'm definitely tagged as something, whether you've met me in person or not or seen me on other platforms, but, you know, my name in some way is attached. So I might not be as willing to say I haven't checked my blood sugar in a week, or my son hasn't checked his blood sugar in a week, or something like that.
Exactly. And it's not that this platform is built for people like you or like me or like Carrie or Scott or George or anybody that has a name out there. But just generally speaking, you might not want to put your name onto something like that, because it is personal. And like, if my mom reads it, then she's going to start freaking out and worrying that I'm not taking care of myself. Maybe it's just I've had a bad rut and I'm going to get myself out of it, but I need to get this off my chest. And for the people that want to share what they're experiencing, just to get it out there, and maybe that's the start of a healing process for them, this offers them a platform to do so anonymously.
So what are the stories like? How does it work? So people make comments, and is it just a form of people responding to each other, or is it just kind of I got that out there, and like you said, I start the healing on my own. This is my first step, or a step in a series of steps.
So a lot of this, there are mostly assumptions built on my experiences with Tumblr. We're going to try not to get too deep into the whole that is how Tumblr works. But generally speaking, there are two main ways to interact with a Tumblr post. You like it, you hit the little heart, which is similar like across all social media platforms, or you reblog it, which means you repost it to your own blog.
Right.
For people that reblog it, they might include a comment below it with their thoughts on it. There are a couple of ways that they can include their own commentary on that. But for the most part, I don't necessarily know that they've added a comment on there. So I'm not necessarily aware of people that are saying, hey, me too, or offering words of encouragement. For the people that interact with these posts, if they want to dig through and find that level of interactivity, it's there. But Tumblr doesn't necessarily surface additional comments made upon the things that I share on this blog. So it's kind of difficult to, and there's one thing I'm not really sure how you like build a fan base or a community through interactions, but I mean, there are interactions that are occurring. I mean, there have been over 1,100 posts submitted to My Diabetes Secrets. So there are a lot of people that are reading this stuff and in turn submitting their own secrets. But as far as like conversations that come as a result of it, part of it is that I'm not sure how that works on Tumblr, but the other problem, which is it's a gift and a curse, is that this is all anonymous. So for the people that are looking for support, looking for help, looking for tips on what to do with their insulin pump whenever they're about to have sex for the first time with their partner or something like that, I can't offer any insight. I can't send them any links to blog posts about that stuff because it comes in as anonymous. So yes, this is a platform for you to get this off your chest, for you to figure out what's going on in your life and just share it if that's what you feel you want to do. But for the people that are asking questions, I'll post it and maybe somebody will say, hey, to the person who was asking about this, here's what I did. But those responses are few and far between. And that's one of the hindrances of building this anonymous platform, unfortunately.
So, you know, I have read some of the posts, and you occasionally will share one that you think is particularly poignant. And I think one of the tremendous values that the anonymity brings is people are brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
And as a parent of kids with diabetes, I read through here, and there's just a lot of real soul-bearing type comments, particularly by adolescents and young adults, about the emotions of diabetes. And is that the goal with the anonymity, is to protect those emotions and yet let them come out?
Yeah, I think that's one side of things. It's to say, hey, it's okay to, like I said, it's okay to not be okay. If you want to share what you're feeling, go ahead and get it off your chest. I think more broadly, I'd love to take a look back at the general themes of the secrets that are submitted on this site and on the other disease secret sites and try to present some sort of kind of understanding, maybe some sort of white paper. I don't know where this is going to go, but I'd love to sort of kind of categorize, okay, for the most part, this site is receiving, you know, secrets around jealousy, around rage, around, you know, envy. I mean, not necessarily all the seven deadly sins or anything like that, but I mean, there are core themes that you can sort of, you can put all these secrets into buckets. And like, and my best friend is a psych major, and I've talked with him about how to classify certain, you know, certain writings and things like that. So I have ideas on how I could sort of present research on this stuff. And I am curious about where we might be able to go with all this, because I would love for somebody to say one day, okay, I looked at all this stuff on My Diabetes Secret. I went through all maybe, you know, 2,500 posts. This will be long in the future. And I get the general sense that people are experiencing X, Y, and Z. As a medical professional, how can I address that? Not necessarily so that they can, you know, fix it or cure it or remove it, but that they can at least acknowledge that it's a problem or a situation and then be prepared to talk about that with their patients. I would love for that to be some sort of end game for all this stuff, that the entire healthcare equation becomes a little more cohesive as a result of the understanding that comes from these secrets.
You know, and one of the things that for people that have not seen this, and I encourage people to go to mydiabetessecret.com and have a look for themselves and read it, and it's impossible to read through this and not be moved. But every post, you know, there's the option, share your secret. There's also, these resources may help you. And I think you've done a really nice job of curating a nice tight little list mm-hmm. of places where people can go for help. And I think even, you know, to take that to the next level, at the bottom of that, there's also a list of peer resources that's really spectacular, and it helps bring people options. And I think that's really tremendous. Is there any way, do you have any feel for how, like, does it track people clicking out to them, or is it just totally anonymous and you don't have any idea?
I mean, I have Google Analytics running on the site, and I know that. So whenever My Diabetes Secret first launched, I didn't have that little bit at the bottom about linking to the submission page and the resources page. I mean, it's just like, generally speaking, it was part of a fixed header on the website. So it was always there if you're interacting with the site. But if you're looking at Tumblr on your phone, which most people are, they're not going to see how I've designed the web page version of it. So I had to include that text in there. And it has increased traffic to that page. I don't necessarily know how many people are clicking on those links, but enough posts came in, this is early on, about suicide and things like that I knew that I was, one, not prepared for all this stuff, and two, not doing enough to help out people. So even if this wasn't an anonymous platform and I couldn't say, hey, Jane, Joe, whatever, here are some resources that I think might be able to help you in case you need to talk with a medical professional, somebody who's qualified to help you through what you're experiencing. I can't directly give that to somebody, but I can do everything in my power to put that link and put those resources in front of their face. So that's why every one of these secrets includes a link to the resources page. And that's why all the resources page across the My Disease Secret platform include the core five links to mental health resources, because, you know, I can find help for diabetes stuff, but sometimes that's not going to be enough. And for the people, and there have been submissions coming in saying, I've thought about how easy it is to just overdose on insulin and not have to deal with this anymore. And that's really, really tough. And I want to try to help those people. And right now, unfortunately, the best I can do is that resources page. And it's something that I'm constantly thinking about, how I can improve raising the visibility of that page, because part of me is worried, legally speaking, like, what exactly am I enabling by people reading this stuff? And if they take action because of something they read, like, I don't know what kind of recourse that would go down, and I don't want to go down that dark path too far, but I'm aware of the fact that some things can be triggering for other people. And I want to do the best that I can to make sure that I inform people that there is help and there is hope out there.
Well, this is really very unique. The more we talk about it, the more I realize how unique it was. I knew it was out there. I hadn't spent a lot of time looking and understanding. I didn't even realize it was a Tumblr thing, because you can see it just online. So that was somewhat transparent to me. But this is really interesting. I'm glad we're talking about it, hopefully getting the word out to people who might themselves not known about it, and who knows who this might touch and who it might help in the future. But it extends, did it start with diabetes and extend to other diseases, or how did that work out? Because it's not just diabetes.
Yeah, so it started off with diabetes, and at one point I posted something on Twitter saying, why isn't there my cancer secret? And then that kind of spawned where we are today. At first, I tried to create a version of my diabetes secret for the entire patient community, like everybody, and that didn't work out too well. I feel like I learned that calling one place a home for everybody wasn't going to work. You need people with diabetes speaking with people with diabetes, people with cystic fibrosis talking to other people with CF, same for MS, Parkinson's, cancer, whatever. So I've since spun that out into individual sites for all these different patient communities. I'm just going to roll down this list right here. So I've got one for diabetes, obviously. My cancer secret is currently in development, but I've got one live for chronic pain, arthritis, mental health, IBD, cystic fibrosis, Parkinson's is in development, multiple sclerosis is live, lupus is live, and I think that's it for now. Yeah, so that's all the ones that I have that are up and running. Cancer and Parkinson's are currently in development. Cancer is my white whale because that is going to be for – I'm sorry, Bennett, but I feel so excited about this. My cancer secret is going to be for – my cancer secret is going to be for the entire cancer community, big C cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, you name it. I want everybody coming to this one site. That's the one place where instead of creating one site for the entire patient community, regardless of your disease, for cancer, I want everybody coming to this one site because there are conversations that are already happening across cancer communities, especially when like October comes around and things get pinkwashed. The breast cancer community feels a certain way about the pink washing. They're not a fan, but everybody else gets jealous because breast cancer gets all that attention in October. And all those other cancers are just as important, but for whatever reason, or for other reasons that we don't necessarily talk about right now, they all of a sudden get all that attention in October. And there are conversations that can happen around that. There are conversations that are happening within cancer communities that I'd like to help shed some light on. And I've started outreach to probably about a dozen cancer advocates right now. And as I kind of find people to sign up and partner with me to make this thing work, at some point, this thing is going to be live and I think it's going to work. I built all these other sites and they've been more or less successful, but like the cancer one is the last one I'm building for a reason. And it's going to be a big task, but I feel strongly about all this stuff.
I'm super excited. And I'm also kind of curious if there's been, and it sounds like it, but has there been uptake in these other disease states, my secrets?
So it's been a learning process for me to get all these sites off the ground successfully. I've revised my launch plan of action after the latest round of sites that went up. And that was lupus and IBD. Those went up together. And those, generally speaking, the sites are successful, but they're not nearly as successful as diabetes, in part because diabetes has been around for over 3 years. But I've learned that in order to get people to understand what the site is, if they're coming to it for the first time, they can't just read my introductory post, which says, hey, here I am, here's this thing, it's going to be awesome. You know, if you want to share a secret, submit it. There need to be secrets in the queue already published so that they can read the post and understand the intent, and then read the content and understand the actual purpose of the site. So that's something that I'm going to be incorporating in future launches, but it's taking me a little bit of time to sort of understand that. But each community takes upon this thing kind of at their own rate. And it's been a challenge for me to sort of be patient with. Some secrets will get a lot of traction for one reason or another. There's a post on My Pain Secret that has over 12,000 notes, or 1,200 notes, excuse me.
Wow.
I tried scrolling back through all the activity to find the one person that shared it that all of a sudden everybody saw, and I haven't found that blog yet. But somebody at some point shared a post, and then it just caught on like wildfire, and the traffic on that one post skyrocketed, and it was over 1,200 likes. And that, for the most part, like on the diabetes one, the posts after they've been up for a couple of days, they'll average between like 50 and 100, you know, notes. And that's great. Mm-hmm. And I love, and it's not just about the numbers, but just as a metric for interactivity.
Right.
That's one thing. But the chronic pain community, for whatever reason, they found that one, and they just started sharing it everywhere. And not every post is going to be like that, and I know that, but it's been a fun ride to see what actually resonates with these communities.
That's amazing. So there's so much more I want to know, but one of the disciplines we're putting on ourselves in this format is time. So we only have 5 minutes left, and I want to give you just some time to hit on anything that's really important that we may not have asked about.
Okay, so this is the one thing that we talked about in our email exchange leading up to this. We only have 5 minutes, so I'll try and be brief, even if I haven't been talking fast enough. But there have been a couple of posts that have come in from the caregiver community, and there's been a lot of pushback as a result of that. For people, a parent will come in and say something about my kid with diabetes, you know, blah, blah, blah. And somebody else will say, hey, parents, go away. This is our space. And I disagree with that second poster. I think that caregivers, if even if they're not necessarily comfortable posting on this thing, caregivers are part of the diabetes community. And like I said, even if you don't necessarily, Bennett, want to share anything on here, I don't want you to be discouraged from interacting with the site one way or another. And I love your perspective on this because you guys are caregivers.
You know, I think it's really interesting. And I suspect there's things that I would say knowing that there's not so much my anonymity, but my kid's anonymity is protected, that I would be willing to say that I don't say in social media. I obviously censor myself. You know, it's their health care, not mine, so I can't talk about struggles. That's their business.
Right.
And I think it would be useful to do that, and maybe I'll give it a try, and maybe I won't. You know, yeah, who knows? I have to think about that. But I think it's a valuable space, and to do that, I think, is really a gift to people.
Yeah, I think it's a fine line. I think there are struggles that caregivers have, and they are similar but different than those who are living with it. So I can respect, hey, this is my space, but I can also very much appreciate that we have issues as well and need support.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the key thing The key thing for me would be, before I would post anything, I think out of respect for everybody there, I would need to follow it for a few weeks so that, you know, jumping in, I would be part of the flow and not, you know, trying to dam a river that's already going or going off on an inappropriate tangent. I think that's true of all social media. You need to lurk for a while before you jump.
Yeah. I mean, I previously thought about creating like a My Caregiver Secret sort of thing, but I feel like that sends the wrong message as far as caregivers being separate from the core conversation around diabetes, around CF, around whatever. Caregivers are part of that core healthcare community, or that core circle of the diabetes community. And it might be difficult for teenagers to recognize that because they're already teenagers rebelling against parents because mom and dad are the worst and things like that. But, you know, I've been around long enough to kind of understand that even if my parents aren't active in my care right now, they're still part of my healthcare team and they deserve a voice in this conversation.
I think that's an amazing thought.
You're doing this all of your own volition. I mean, I'm just so impressed, the heart that you have to do this for so many different communities. And like I said, I'm glad that we're spreading the word because I think your efforts deserve to be known, and we want to get the word out to the people who could benefit from this. So thank you for doing all this and giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So we're about a minute away from our self-imposed 30-minute deadline. I'm thrilled to have had this very rapid chat with Chris. He's someone that I have the highest respect for. I think if you're listening to this, you know why. So thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks again, guys. And awesome. And also happy D-Podcast week. You guys are sort of kicking this thing off.
And when should we expect to hear your show?
Just Talking Post every Tuesday. So I actually recorded earlier with like I said, your friend of mine, Carrie Sparling, for episode 329. So you can look for that one, justtalkingpodcast.com. Yeah, I know.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Chris, again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Diabetes Out Loud is a program of the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation, otherwise known as DCAF. As always, thanks for listening in. Please visit www.diabetesoutloud.org, where you will find our show notes and all the to keep up with Diabetes Out Loud. Until next time, be well, everyone. Bye-bye.